Well, the Song of Solomon. You might be prone to ask, why is the Song of Solomon even part of the scriptures to begin with? At first glance, it looks like a collection of love poems and sensual and sometimes even steamy words between two lovers. There's actually a website of pickup lines a guy says he learned from the Song of Solomon. But the Song of Solomon made it into scriptures because over the centuries, wise readers of the Bible determined that there are many ways to read scripture. The passages that we read sometimes have literal meaning, even though sometimes we have difficulty figuring out what that is. But they also have other meanings. There can be a figurative or even a mystical or an allegorical meaning to the scriptures. And so the Song of Solomon can be read as an allegory of God's love for his people and of Christ's love for his church, for you and me. And so here it is. We have it in the scripture. Wesley, in his notes on the Song of Solomon, said, "The scope of this book is to describe the mutual love and union and communion which is between Christ and his church." So if we're going to read this as an allegory, we find God then as a divine lover, seducing his beloved to come outside the walls. The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. And the divine lover shows up and he finds his loved one, his fair one, his beautiful one, holed up behind this wall. And he looks in to find his fair one. And the fair one looks out and says, "My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice." And there is that same God we find in the scriptures who stood on the hillside, scanning the horizon, looking for the return of his prodigal son. And it says he saw him some distance. It's the same God who, in the cool of the evening, went looking for Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And only this time, God is in a playful, a joyful, a frolicking mood, even as he jumps over the hills like a gazelle or a young stag, because he knows something's up. He peers into the lattice eagerly, looking for his beautiful one, because he knows the fair one. He knows something that the fair one behind the wall doesn't know, that winter is over, that the rain has ended and spring has come. A new beginning awaits his beautiful one. And that's good news for the beautiful one. Because his fair one has been locked inside these four walls for a long wintry season of constant rain and constant sorrow. And so in our allegorical reading, guess what? You and I are the fair one inside the walls. We're the ones that have been enduring the winter. We're the ones that have been looking out the window and seeing constant rain in our lives. And at some point in our lives, we all find ourselves walled in. Have you ever felt walled in your life? Some emotionally, psychologically, spiritually debilitating situation. Some challenge in your life, some situation you're not for sure how to untangle yourself from. Maybe it's a job that you hate. Maybe it's a relationship that's been harmful to you. Maybe some of you have dealt with an addiction, a dilemma of a child that's engaged in some destructive behavior that you don't have answers for. Maybe it's a loss that has lost you and kept you off balance since you've lost that person in your life. And then there's just this general anxiety and fear about life that can wall us in and keep us there. And so not having the energy or the strength to move outside of the walls that have been built around you, you collapse on the cold, damp, wintry ground, and you just stay there. And the winter rains come, and those walls of depression and hopelessness imprison you, and you begin to think, are they going to stay there the rest of my life? Wesley again put it like this. He said, the winter, spiritual troubles arising from a deep sense of guilt of sin, perhaps, or the wrath of God, the curse of the law, all which made you afraid to come unto God. But wait a minute. Listen. Look. Look outside the walls. What is that in the distance that you hear? What do you see? What is that galloping over the hill and coming toward you? Who is that? In the Song of Solomon, the Fair One says, his voice speaks. The voice of my beloved. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on earth, the time of spring has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. I know that we can get entangled in the snares of the world. I've been entangled in enough snares in my life, and I know each of you have, and maybe you're surrounded by those snares, those fetters, and those shackles at this point in your life. Maybe it's a deep disappointment, an unresolved dilemma, some paralyzing fear. And I think if we look to the right or to the left of us this morning, we see someone who has known those walls of doubt and of hopelessness and of fear. But did you notice that the winter is coming to an end? It's beginning to thaw. Listen. The playful but provocative voice of God calls you. The voice of the beloved comes leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills like a gazelle or a young stag. And he says to you there in your guilt or your doubt or your anxiety, your perplexity or your fear, he says, arise, get up, my love, and come away. That same voice is heard all throughout the scriptures. You can't read the scriptures without hearing that same voice. Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus also said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke to kick off his ministry, I have come to declare the kingdom of God is at hand. It's always about the winter ending, about the great fall, about the rains that have stopped. And a new kingdom is ready for us to seize and to grab onto. And no one, Jesus says, will snatch it away from you. But he first says, arise, get up. Get up from your slumber. The evangelical pastor Tony Campolo said it like this. He says, it's in the beginning, right here. It's beginning right here and right now. It's starting right here. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is in you. That's what Jesus said. It's not just in the sweet by and by, and it's not just in the ugly here and now. He's filling his people with his spirit. He's filling you and me with his spirit, even if you're behind a wall. And as many as receive him, to them he gives the power to become the sons and daughters of God that will change the world. Jesus' stories are all oftentimes about parties. Have you noticed that? The first time Jesus shows up in the Gospel of John, it's in Cana. There's a party going on and they're running out of wine, and he changes the water to wine. And then there's the feast that the father throws for the prodigal son who has returned home. Jesus even compares the kingdom of God to a party, to a feast. But what does that mean for you? If you're trapped within those damp walls of winter, and that you don't see any end in sight to. Well, first of all, it means this. It means, listen, the voice of God is calling. He's calling you. And it means, look. Look through the crack in the wall. Look through the lattice and see that this joyful, playful, frolicking God who's looking for an adventure for your life is leaping over the mountains and hopping over the hills, and he's heading in your direction. It also means that you will not go alone. Your beloved says, arise and come with me. God wants to go on this adventure with you. He wants you to leave the walls, and once you do it, you'll also look to the right or left and find other people who have said, I am tired of being behind these walls. I am tired of the guilt and the doubt and the fear and the anxiety and the perplexity. I hear the Lord say, arise, and I'm going with him. You'll find other people who have said this, just the same thing. It also means this. It means if you decide to get outside the walls that are around you right now, that have you frightened and worried and perplexed and scared, it means you'll be skittish at first. You'll be frightened. Anytime you go on an adventure, it's frightening. But it's also exciting. In C.S. Lewis' Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you remember the little girl, Susan, asked Mr. Beaver if Aslan the lion is safe. Now, if you remember that story, Aslan the lion is the Christ figure in the story. And she asked Mr. Beaver, and the conversation goes like this between Susan and Mr. Beaver. Mr. Beaver said, Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Ooh, says Susan. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he is good. He's the king, I tell you. That's who accompanies you. When you decide to get out from behind the walls that have kept you in, that have held you back, in fear and doubt, self-doubt, anxiety, loneliness. But something has to happen inside you first. If you remember the story of the prodigal son, there's a very important verse in that story. The prodigal son has left. He left his father and he took his inheritance and he spent it in profligate spending and wasted it. But at one point when he's lost everything and he's in the mire with the pigs and he's eating with the pigs, it says in verse 17, and he came to his senses. You all may be behind some walls. Maybe there's self-doubt. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's just, I don't know what to do or where to go from here. And you can stay there. And it can be winter the rest of your life. Or you can peer out through the lattice. And you can attune your ears. And you can hear the voice of God, and you can see him playfully and joyfully and frolicking toward you, and you can come to your senses when you hear the Lord say, arise, come with me, my love. Let's pray together. Father, I know there are walls around some gathered here this morning, because at some point in our lives, we all have those walls built around us. Oh, and they can be so debilitating. They can be so paralyzing. We're ashamed of something we've done, or we're fearful of something that will happen, or anxious about the unknown. We're anxious about a change that has been forced upon us in life. Teach us, Father, to listen, that we would hear the voice of our beloved. Teach us to look beyond the wall, through the lattice, and see you coming toward us with joy, with eagerness, that we might hear you say, arise and come with me. We give you these things in praise and glory and honor now and forever. Amen.